Turn your Bibles with me to Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13. Let's start in verse 24. Mark chapter 13, verse 24. Says, "But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars of heaven will fall, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest part of the earth to the farthest part of heaven. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch." Here we see Jesus reveal some of the details of his second coming to the disciples. Now, no matter what we think, we've been discussing the second coming because we've been studying in the book of Revelation in Sunday school. And it's been fascinating to think about all the details surrounding the second coming of Christ. And whatever we decide on the details, there's one thing that we can all know for sure, and that is Jesus is coming again. That we can know for sure. There is no doubt in any of our minds, or should be no doubt in any of our minds as Christians, that Jesus is coming again. And when he comes back, it is going to be an awesome, glorious event. His second coming is truly going to be a glorious event, one that every believer in Christ can look forward to. When Pastor David Peterson was preparing a sermon, his little girl came in and asked, "Daddy, can we play?" "I'm awfully sorry, sweetheart, but I'm right in the middle of preparing this sermon. In about an hour, I can play," her dad said. "Okay," she said. "When you're finished, I will give you a great big hug." She went to the door, then did a U-turn, and came back to give her dad a bone-breaking hug. "You said you were going to give me a hug after I finished," her dad said, teasing. "I just wanted you to know what you have to look forward to," the little girl said. You know what? God wants us to know what we have to look forward to. And that's what's so awesome about these words of Jesus Christ. We have something awesome to look forward to when we think about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. However, in light of this glorious event, Jesus implores us in verse 37 to watch. He emphasizes this word, watch. He says you must watch. Knowing what it means to watch then becomes vital to our Christian walk, doesn't it? Knowing what this word watch means becomes vital to our Christian walk. Because Jesus commands us here, in light of his second coming, to watch. So, as we look at this passage, I would like us to see why we need to be watchful and what is involved in being watchful. There's two parables Jesus uses to explain this word watch and what it means to be watchful. So let's take a look at this passage and see what's involved. First of all, look at verse 28 again. It says, but verse 28 says, now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that it is near, at the door. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Now, first of all, I want us to understand, we should live in watchfulness because the Lord's coming is near and certain. We should live in watchfulness because our Lord's coming is near and certain. The first parable we see Jesus use to express a need for watchfulness is one of a fig tree. Basically, Jesus is saying that when a fig tree sprouts leaves, you know summer is near. And we understand that. We understand what happens in spring, and we know what happens after spring. Summer comes. Then he says, when you see these things. Now, these things are the things that he talks about in verses 5 through 22 of this chapter. When you see wars and rumors of wars, when you see people claiming that the Christ has come, when you see brother going against brother, and you see this these trials and tribulations that are going to come to Christians when they're brought before councils and they are accused falsely and they're killed because of their faith, you know Jesus' time for coming is coming soon. And boy, as we look at our world today, we can see that his approaching, his coming, is approaching quickly. I mean, we are seeing wars and rumors of wars escalating. We are seeing a contentious spirit against Christianity increasing ever more in our world. And we must know that the shoots on the sprouts of the branch are blooming. And we are near. And because of that, we must be watching. We must be watching. Now, Jesus has definitely wanted us, no matter how you look at this world or what you might think of how close we are to the coming of Christ, Jesus wants us to have a sense that the end is near, that his coming is imminent. He wants us to have that sense. He wants us to sense that his coming is going to take place soon. The emphasis is on, I believe he taught this so we would live our lives as though the end is near. I really believe that he wants us to live our lives as though the end is near, making the most of every moment of our lives. Not wasting our lives on just what we want to do with our lives, on petty stuff, but on what God wants us to do with our lives. You see, part of being watchful is living your life as though Christ could come at any moment. Making the most of the time that you have here on earth. Not blowing it on frivolous stuff. Not blowing it on just what you want to do with your life, but making sure that every moment of your life is in God's will. What God wants you to do. Asking God, God, what do you want me to do today for you? That is what we need to be doing in our lives. That is what watchfulness is. Watchfulness is living our lives with the idea that we need to make the most of the rest of our time. Making the most of the rest of our time. That is what we should be doing with our lives. And I hope we will apply this to our lives by asking God, Lord, what do you want me to do with my life today? You know, when I get up in the morning, I have a coffee, I eat my breakfast, and I read the Bible. And then I pray. And the prayer that I say at the end of my time with the Lord, Lord, show me what you want me to do today. Now, for some of us, that may not be any different than what we did the day before. But that's okay, because you're doing what God wants you to. If you're relying on God to guide you, and you pray and ask Him to guide you, you're being watchful. You are being watchful. And God will guide you, and you will be a faithful servant, and you will not be surprised when Jesus comes back again. And when He comes back, He will find you doing what He wants you to do. That's what watchfulness is. That's what we ought to be doing. Let's remember this. Let's remember that we need to be living our lives in a way that we're making the most of the time that God has given us for His service. Okay? Now, look at verse 30 and 31 again. It says this. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. So, Jesus makes it clear that these are absolutely certain. In these phrases that He's just said, He wants everybody to understand that everything He's said about His second coming is definitely gonna come to pass. Now, this phrase, this generation will not pass away, it's used 17 times in the New Testament to refer to the Jews. Okay? So, it may not refer to just one generation of people, but all of God's people, or the people, the Jews. And, you know, you could even speculate that it refers to all of God's people. But I want us to understand, regardless of how we look at that phrase, this generation is, the emphasis is not on this generation. It's on till all these things take place. Okay? So, however you may look at this generation, the fact of the matter is that all the things that Jesus has spoken up to this point, including His second coming, are definitely going to take place. And so because of that, we can live our lives with the certainty that Jesus is coming back, and the things that He has described here are definitely going to happen. So, watchfulness includes a mindset that says, I know these things are going to come true, so I need to live my life accordingly. I know Jesus is going to come back someday, so no matter how bad this world gets, I'm going to have joy and peace in my heart, because I know someday I'm going to be gathered up with Him and reign with Him forevermore, and there'll be no more tears and no more sorrow. This world, with all its wickedness, will pass away. That's what we should be living like. He enforces this point by reminding us that His words are eternal. His words are eternal. We see that heaven and earth will pass away, but His words will not. The word Maranatha is a Syriac expression that means our Lord comes. It was used as a greeting in the early church. When believers gathered or parted, they didn't say hello and goodbye, but Maranatha. If we had the same upward look today, it would revolutionize the church. Oh, that God's people had a deepening awareness of the imminent return of the Savior. While on a South Pole expedition, British explorer Sir Ernest Shackleton left a few men on Elephant Island, promising that he would return. Later, when he tried to go back, huge icebergs blocked the way. But suddenly, as if by a miracle, an avenue opened in the ice, and Shackleton was able to get through. His men, ready and waiting, quickly scrambled aboard. No sooner had the ship cleared the island than the ice crashed together behind them. Contemplating their narrow escape, the explorer said to his men, "It was fortunate. You were all packed and ready to go." They replied, "We never gave up hope. Whenever the sea was clear of ice, we rolled up our sleeping bags and reminded each other, the boss may come today." That is a wonderful picture of what God wants us to do in our lives. Realize that he could come anytime and that we need to be living our lives as though that is the case. That is the fact. It is certain that it will happen. The hymn writer Herodotus Bonar exhorted us to be ready for the last moment by being ready at every moment. So attending to every duty that, let him come when he may, he finds the house in perfect order, awaiting his return. The trump may sound any time. How important for us as Christians to be packed and ready to go. So as you leave today, don't say goodbye. Say Maranatha. Thought that was a pretty awesome expression there, a great little devotion. So as we live our lives, let's do so believing that the Lord's coming is near and certain. Then secondly, I want us to understand living in watchfulness is going to require prayer because the time of his return is unknown. It's unknown. Although it's certain, it's unknown. Jesus makes it clear that only God the Father knows when the time of his return would be. Now remember, Jesus has the ability to exclude himself from the possession of knowledge. So that's why he's able to say this. So since the time of his coming is unknown, Jesus exhorts us to watch and pray. So we need to keep our eyes on what's going on in our world and live our lives according to the fact that his coming is near and certain, but we also must pray for wisdom. We must pray for guidance to show us what to do as this time approaches, as the time of his coming approaches. One girl named Hannah, 3, came home from Bible school and announced that her teacher makes everyone bow their heads and close their eyes when they pray, but then he keeps his eyes open. The mom asked Hannah how she would know that he did that if her eyes were closed. She said, "I only close one eye at a time. I only close one eye at a time." And, you know, there's kind of a metaphor there where, you know, we close one eye and we're praying, and then with the other eye we're watching. Okay? That's kind of what we need to be doing. Praying and watching. Praying and watching. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be involved in being guided by his Holy Spirit every day as that day, that glorious day approaches. That's what he wants. He wants us to be guided by his Spirit. And he guides us when we pray. Okay? So once again, we see Jesus teaching us the importance of prayer. Because we have limited knowledge, we must rely on the one who knows everything. Right? So we pray to God because our knowledge is limited, but His is unlimited. You don't know how much time you have on earth, but God does, and He said He would guide you. You know, I talked about making the most of our time. One of the things that I struggle with as a believer is feeling guilty if I'm not, quote, doing something, right? And we all may go through that. But if I am praying and asking God to guide me and taking His counsel, I don't have to feel guilty. You know, there may be one day where He says, Bill, you need a rest today, okay? And I don't have to feel guilty about that. A lot of times I do. If I go fishing, a lot of times I feel guilty that I'm out there fishing. Shouldn't I be doing something else? You know, but no, if you're being led by the Lord, you don't have to feel like that. God knows everything. He knows when you need some time to rest. He knows when you need to go to the store and invite that person at the cash register to the Lord, to the church, whatever. Okay? So, remember that. But you only got that feeling, that sense that you're being guided by God if you ask Him, if you're praying. And that's what we need to do. If you knew how long you had to live, would you live any differently? Well, you don't know. So how much time you have is up to God. So that's why you need to ask Him for guidance. So when you stand before Him someday, He's not going to say, you wasted your life. He's going to say, thou good and faithful servant. That's what we want to hear. So with His guidance, we don't need to know when Jesus is coming. We don't. So let's remember that. Now, living in watchfulness involves faithful service to the Lord. That's what we need to remember. Jesus, in verse 34, Jesus now gives us a parable that defines watchfulness for us. He refers to us as servants assigned with a task. That's what we see here. We are His servants assigned to a task. I believe that task is to tell others about Jesus and make disciples. The Great Commission. Okay? Now, we're to tell others that Jesus Christ died on the cross, that He rose again on the third day, that if they will trust Him as their Savior and ask for forgiveness of sins, they will by His grace have their sins forgiven and they will have eternal life. That is what God wants us to do. And He wants us to be faithful in that. And He's created the local church for us to work together to accomplish that goal. So the tasks that God asks us to do are involved in being faithful to a local congregation of believers where we are telling others the good news about Jesus Christ. That is what God wants us to be faithful to. That is the task He's given us, and that is the task that He calls us to be faithful to. Verses 34, 35 and 36. Let's read those verses. It says, watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. So, verses 35 and 36 make it clear that we need to be faithful in serving the Lord. Not, quote, sleeping, which just means giving up on serving the Lord or stopping our service to the Lord, stopping our faithfulness to His church, stopping our faithfulness to spread the gospel, right? But continually being faithful to do that, okay? That is what God calls us to do, and that's what watchfulness involves. It involves faithful service to the Lord. There is no time in our life when we can abandon being faithful to our service to the Lord. He wants us to be faithful. And so it's important that we are faithful. There's many wonderful, wonderful examples of those who have been faithful. But I want us to understand a few things that are commendable about people that are faithful. Christians who finish their lives still growing and still serving. Husbands and wives who stay faithful to each other until death do us part. Young people who preserve their virginity until marriage despite the crushing peer pressure. Pastors who stay passionate about ministry until their last breath. Church members who weather conflict and remain joyful, loving, and faithful. This is what God calls us to do. He calls us to be faithful. Let's be faithful and serve the Lord all of our lives like others have. I think of some of our great missionaries. Some of our great missionaries that have served before. I think of Bobby and Geneva Poole. Bobby and Geneva Poole were missionaries to Brazil. Geneva just passed away a year or two ago. But they were missionaries to Brazil for over 50 years. 50 years of faithful service to the Lord. Wow, that's pretty awesome to think about. God wants us to be faithful. You may not be a missionary to Brazil, but God's called you to a task. And if you're faithful, you're watchful. Let's be watchful. Let's be watchful. Let's remember to pray and serve the Lord faithfully in anticipation of His near and certain coming.